Well, good morning. It is, man, what a blessing it is to be here. What a blessing it is to see so many or so few empty seats this morning. What a crowd we have. So many people have decided on purpose. I hope it was on purpose. Didn't just find yourself here, but this morning decided to be here to worship God and to be a part of His family and to be a part of this experience that hopefully transforms us into more of His likeness, that makes us more aware of His presence. And this morning, as we've sung, and I tell you, I so appreciate all of the heart. We have such great song leaders, whether it be Bob or Dan or Dick or even Hayden does a swell job on occasion. But all of the preparation and whoever's leading singing, and all of the heart that goes into that, and not only just getting up here and leading songs. I mean, anybody can just announce a number and start singing and stand up here. But we have worship leaders, and God has blessed us with men who stand up here and lead us in worship, and that's such a blessing to be a part of that. And men who pour their heart out to God in prayer. And this morning, it's just one of those. With the number of people and the weather outside and the singing, it's just one of these mornings that just make you so aware of the presence of God and so happy to be just to be saved and to be a child of the King. And this morning, I want us to go through a little exercise that I think might be maybe uncomfortable for some, but hopefully it'll get more comfortable as we go along. And one of the things that I appreciate, Dick, he gets up every once in a while and he'll say God is good, to which we will say, and then he'll say all the time. All right, so so that's his thing, and I'm not gonna steal his thing this morning. But this morning I want to do something that I want you, now that you're talking back a little bit, just to look at. I watch a lot of preaching on TV, and I watch those guys, who talk to the audience and tell the audience to talk to each other, and I like that. And one of the most the best preaching experiences I've ever had outside of Highland Hills, obviously, was I was asked to preach at a men's day at the Greater Fairfax Missionary Baptist Church in downtown St. Louis, and these brothers talked the whole time I was preaching. I mean, they told me, good job, little fella, and they said, bring it, I loved it. It was the most interactive preaching experience, it was great. And so I'm trying to, get us to interact a little bit more, but I like those guys that say, turn to your neighbor and tell them something this, that. But this morning, I want you to turn to the person next to you and just tell them, I'm going to heaven. If you got to turn around and tell the person behind you, that's okay. But what does that feel like to say that out loud? Not only to believe that. See, that's the thing. You can't tell white people to talk because they don't know how to stop. You know what I'm saying? But how does that feel? How does that feel to say, I'm going, not only to believe it in your heart, but to say it out loud? Because it makes you feel one of two ways. Either it makes you feel good and to know, man, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with God forever. Or it makes you a little bit, maybe, am I? I mean, I can say it, but do I believe it? We see the purpose of being here this morning. It isn't just to say a lot of religious things and to sing a lot of religious songs and to be involved in anything, particularly for the show of it. The whole point of this morning is to get more and more comfortable with the idea that we are saved from the sin that so easily entangles us. And our God, amen, is right. Who said that? There you go. You get extra credit this morning. You get extra credit this morning, but to know that we're going to be saved, that with the sin that so easily entangles us, the sin that so many people try to deny, that so many people that have no answer for, we're saved. We're going to be with God forever. And that should be the defining reality of our life. And this morning I want to talk about what it's like to hear the voice of God, to make kingdom decisions. Last week, you know, in the previous weeks, we've been talking about prayer. We've been talking about what it's like to be, you know, kingdom citizens and to live in the kingdom and to pray kingdom prayers and the fact that prayer works and all what all that looks like. But being kingdom citizens and it is all about hearing God's word, hearing God's voice, and guiding our lives. And so many people, and I get emails about this, I get phone calls about this, and just casual conversations in the hallways. Shane, how do I know? How in the world do you know? How do I live the life that God wants me to live? And so this morning we're going to look at what it looks like to hear, or what it sounds like to hear the voice of God. And making kingdom decisions so that we know that the decisions that we make are in line with the will of God and are directing us towards His glory. And so that other people can see God in us. And so that we are that light. We are that salt. And it comes in some very specific ways. This morning, if you have your Bibles with you, open up to Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. We're going to read that real quickly. It says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry out aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For He guards the course of the just and protects the ways of the faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair. Every good path, for wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you." What a passage. What a great passage that God has given us to outline. Guys, if you want to be in the will of God, if you want to make kingdom decisions, if you want to be people that do what it is that God wants us to do, there is a way to know what is right. There's a way to know exactly what God wants us to do. Let me get to this is why I hate notes. I can never find, there it is. He says, in the very first part of that, he says, "And if you call out for insight," and I want to go back to this. Let me see if I know how to use this. There you go. "And if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure." You know what he's telling us right there? If we want to be kingdom citizens, if we want to be people who hear the voice of God, if we want to make decisions that are in line with God, then it's got to be a priority to us. I mean, anybody who looks for silver or hidden treasure, that's a big deal to them. I mean, it's a big deal to each one of us. We all, unless we're retired, get up every morning and go to work. You know why? We're looking for silver. We're looking for hidden treasures. We're looking for a way to support ourselves. He's saying, guys, that hearing the voice of God and making godly decisions, if we want understanding, if we want God's knowledge, it's got to be a big deal to us. So this morning, I want to show us, what does it look like to make kingdom decisions? What does it look like to make making kingdom decisions a big deal? There are six ways that I want to look at of making kingdom decisions, so we know that that what we are doing and the direction that we are going is a godly direction. The choices that we make are godly choices. And the things that we do are bringing glory to God and lifting up His name and not our own. The first thing that we have to do, and if you've got your order of worship, turn on the back and there's the outline. And I'm going to try to keep having that on there so maybe we can follow along and it gives you something to take notes. But the first decision, the first test is the ideal test. This is it all starts with this one test right here. If you're making a decision, if you've got a direction that you need to go or you got something you want to do, you got to ask yourself, is this in harmony with God's Word? You know, one of the things that we talk about in our class over in the fellowship hall, the young persons seekers class, which is not really just for young people, but, you know, whatever. But one of the things we talk about is how biblically illiterate the church is. You know, it's one of those things that right now in, you know, Barna's research, and that's a group that does a lot of research as far as the, you know, trends in church and religion and culture and that sort of thing, is that they have determined that right now the under 18 generation in our country is the most biblically illiterate generation we've ever produced. There used to be a commitment to Bible knowledge and Bible reading and understanding and knowing what the Word of God said. There used to be this very important prioritized commitment to that we've gotten away from, quite frankly. But there's good news and there's bad news in that. The bad news is that we've gotten away from it. The bad news is that by and large, each generation is subsequently more and more biblically illiterate. And we're right now in the middle of producing the most biblically illiterate generation in history. That's the bad news. The good news is we can get back to being biblically literate. It's not too late. It's not too late to look in the Word of God and see, is what I'm about to do in harmony with what God wants me to do? Is there something in the Bible that addresses whatever it is that I'm dealing with? I'm about to go this direction. Is it contrary to the will of God, or is it at least in line with the will of God? You know, in Psalms chapter 119 and 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And man, we sing that, don't we? We sing that song. Your word is a light unto my... You know, we sing it. Do we live that? I mean, think about the last major decision that you made, whether it was to change careers or to buy a house or to move or to go and talk to somebody who was struggling with something, or maybe, you know, whatever the decision, did you spend time in the Word of God agonizing over, is this the direction that I should go? Is the Word of God the lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path? Or is something else? I mean, what does Oprah say about it? What's Dr. Phil had to say on this topic? You know, what is the, you know, think of any of the authors that are out there that write, you know, this book or that book, or you know, who's the big, you know, thinking person now out there? I don't know. I don't read those people, but do we go to other sources to find out if this is what I should do, or is the ideal test for us, is it in harmony with the Word of God? Then there is the integrity test. Not only is there the ideal, is this in line with God's Word, but the integrity test. What I want everyone that I know to know about this decision. It says that in Proverbs 10 and 9, the man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out. You know, there's so many small decisions that we make on a daily basis. You know, not the big ones necessarily, like, you know, should I take this job or should I not? Should I move? Should I not? Should I, you know, do this? Should I not? You know, but there's the small ones. Should I tell the whole truth when a partial omission would benefit me more? The integrity test. Would I want everyone that I know to know about what I'm about ready to do? If I'm about to go into this meet, you know, with, you know, those of you who are in business, you know, maybe you're in sales or maybe you are managers, or, you know, would I want my church family to be in this meeting and hear how I talk to the people that work for me? Would I want people to see how I pay my taxes or manage my checkbook? The integrity test. You know, integrity or character is defined as what you do when no one else is in the room. I mean, it really is. You know, David says in Psalm 100 and 101, God, I will walk before you with upright heart. In my house, I will live a blameless life. When there's no one else around, when you think all eyes are off, what do we do? You know, if you want to see if the decision that you're making is a kingdom decision, if you want to know if what you're getting ready to do is glorifying God or glorifying the flesh, then just ask that question. Would everyone approve of this? Or am I trying to hide it? In James chapter 4, in verse 17, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do, but doesn't do it, sins. You know, there's a twist on integrity. You know, it's not only not doing things that are against the will of God, but not doing what we know is right. You know, there's so many opportunities that we have on a daily basis, whether it's to do a good thing or to encourage somebody or to give or, you know, just to be there. And what if we pass those opportunities up? You know, the integrity test isn't just about doing bad things, but it's about omitting the good things that God wants us to do. You know, you think about it like this. When I'm about to make a decision whether to help someone, whether to give them money or whether to encourage them or make a phone, whatever it is, if I know it's a good thing and I choose not to do it, do I want everyone to know that, you know what, I chose to leave that brother or sister hanging? You know, I chose not to do the good that I know I needed to do. The integrity test, is it something that we want everybody to know about? The third thing, the improvement test. Is this decision going to make me a better person? Is this something that when I do this, that when everyone finds out about this, because the Bible says that you know, those who are integrity, they walk securely, but those who don't, you know, will be found out. Here's the reality. Everything we do is found out, whether by man or by God. So everything that we do, is this decision going to make me a better person? Paul says to the Corinthians, everything is permissible. I mean, you think about it, grace. We, if I sin, the reality is, the theology that we believe is that the Jesus dying on the cross is all of the work sufficient to save me from my sin. My sins, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of that is dealt with on the cross. So grace is big. And Paul says everything's permissible. Guess what? You're free. You can do whatever you want. But not everything is beneficial, and certainly not everything is constructive. Not everything that we choose to do, even good things, is not everything is constructive. You know, life is about building up. How many scriptures do we come across about, you know, building up the church, building one another up? And, you know, one verse that we're going to get very familiar with, intimately familiar with next year in 2010, is Hebrews 10 and 25. It says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as some are in the habit of doing. Or the NIV says that, you know, that's the King James. The NIV says, don't give up on meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. He says, the only reason we come together is to build one another up. You know, that's a verse about constructing the church, constructing one another, building each other up. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is beneficial in building up the hearers. You know, there is an epidemic across the country. There's an epidemic across the church. You know what it is? It's talking. Just talking. Just passing on information. Just passing on information. Just tell. Guess what? A lot of it's true. You know what? A lot of it's true. It's not beneficial. You know, I preached a sermon, I think it was like 28 months ago, about this very topic. And one of the things that I said, and I remember Jim Woodard sitting right over there, and he amened this, and he believes it. He said, if we could master this one thing, it would single-handedly change the world. That's just if we would control the things that we said. I mean, you believe that? If we just, as a body of, if Christians just stopped passing on information. And you know the information I'm talking about. Did you hear about this one? Do you know what this person? You'd never believe what I saw. You know, if we just stopped that, that one thing would single-handedly change the face of the church. And it would permeate into the culture, I promise you. See, not everything is beneficial. Not everything is constructive. Every idea that I have to say, every thought, everything I know, it's not constructive for me to say it. Most of the time, and I tell my kids this, you know, nothing is better to say than some of the things we come up with. You know, I tell Hayden all the time, I said, son, I would rather you remain silent and have people think you're stupid than for you to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Now, you know why I tell him that? Because he's my son. And I know that I've heard that my whole life. That's not original to me. My mother told me that. I said, Shane, you would be better off to say about 10% of what you think to say. The rest of it, let it go. Let it go. When we're making decisions, is this constructive? Is this going to make me a better person? Is it going to make me a better person in God's eyes? Is it going to build anyone up? Or is this just something that's going to edify my flesh? The improvement test. And then there's the independence test. Now, this word's a stretch, but I had to come up with something. Everything that started with eyes, I like doing that. And so the independence test is this, could this become an addiction for me? Is what I'm about to do, is this something that's going to gain control of my life? Or is this something that I'm going to be able to control? You know, in 1 Corinthians 6 and 12, this is a verse that models or mirrors what Paul just got through saying. He says, everything is permissible. Not everything is beneficial, but I will not be mastered by anything. You know, there's so much good out there. And here's a decision that we make. And this is a little one. I'm going to watch TV tonight. That's a little one right there. That's not a kingdom decision, is it? Guys, for me it is. For me, and I mean, y'all heard me preach now for 4 years, and you know, I have no other way to do this but just be open and honest and bear it all before my people. That's all I can do. For me, watching television, guys, is a kingdom decision. Because I'm a guy that can get in there, and I've got this couch that Vicki and I bought when we were in St. Louis, and people, I'm telling you, we looked for 6 months. I went into furniture stores, I took my shoes off, I laid down on these things, I sat on them, I rolled over, I brought in blankets and pillows, and I mean, I did research on this thing. It is the most comfortable. Y'all, and people have been to my house, Miss Doris will tell you. This is comfy. Parker, just get right there next to you and just, oh, it's awesome. I have a snoring problem. Vicki will punch me and I wake her up. And sometimes I'll just go sleep on the couch. I sleep on the couch 3 out of 7 nights. Now, because I'm in the doghouse, it's comfortable. She can get some sleep. I don't have to feel guilty about keeping her up. And I get a good night's sleep. I love that couch. Guess what I can do out there? I get watching SportsCenter, ESPNU, ESPN Classics. I'll watch a game that was played 15 years ago. My kids ask me, Dad, why are you watching that? That happened, but you know, so many years. You already know. I said, well, I don't know. I'll tell you, I'm addicted to it. I am. Television, sports, football, baseball, it can master me. And guess what? I can waste so much time sitting there just watching little flickers of light. I miss out on so many opportunities to teach my kids things. You know what? Here you go. I'll just confess this. I'm already out of time, but forgive me. 2 years ago. Well, how many years ago did you ask for a pile of wood for Christmas so we could build a fort? He wanted to build a fort out in our backyard. Two? Was it two? Three? No, it wasn't three. Tim knows because he helped me build it. You know how long it took me to build that thing? Way too long. You know why? I made bad decisions, guys. I made a decision so many Saturdays to watch television instead of getting out on a day like today. And now we finally got it built. But man, it was so much better if I had just turn that thing off. And there's so many decisions that we make on a daily basis that seem small and seem insignificant, that seem like they really don't matter, but they do. And they're kingdom decisions. And we have to decide, is this mastering me? And if we're honest, there's so many things that we need to cut out and so much time that we can give back to God. Then there's the influence test. We have to ask, will this harm other people? Is what I'm getting ready to do, is this going to be one of those things, is one of those stumbling block moments, Romans 14 and 13. Make up your mind not to put a stumbling block in your brother's way. You know, it might be okay for me to do this. This might be one of those permissible things. It might be one of those beneficial things. But if it's something that's going to harm my brother, then I don't need to do that. You know, one of those things that
that a lot of us do, one of those decisions that we make, has to do with church. Now, here's a kingdom decision. Should I be at church this morning? How does that harm my brother? Do you know how encouraging it is when we have this many people at church? Oh man, this is encouraging. Do you know how discouraging it is when we all decide on the same day, you know what, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do whatever. Now, there's those kingdom decisions that, I mean, you never know when that's a stumbling block to somebody to say, look, why is this person over and over and over not here? Why is their faith so, why, you know, whatever it is this decision a stumbling block to somebody else? You know, we've got to be people that are not just thinking of ourselves, but thinking of others. And then probably besides the ideal test, one of the most important, and it kind of goes along with the independence test, is the investment test. Is this the best use of my life? Is what I'm getting ready to do, is what I'm getting ready to spend time on, this decision that I'm getting ready to make? And think about it. When you decide to do something, that's time that you are eternally investing in this activity. You're never getting those minutes back. You're never getting those hours back. You're never getting those thoughts back. Is this the best use of my life? Ephesians tells us to be very careful then how you live, making the most of every opportunity. And that's the only way that we will know what God's will is. And Romans chapter 12 says it's His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, our life is valuable. Every minute of it is valuable because every minute of it we can't get back. Every decision that we make is a kingdom decision. It's a decision to give more of us to the kingdom of this world or more of us to the kingdom of heaven. We have to ask ourselves this week, what am I investing my life in? Am I investing my life in things that will last or things that will go away? Things that will spend eternity with me or things that will draw me further and further from God? It's the investment test. This is the best use of my life. So we've only got one. We've only got one of this minute right here. And this minute, well, that one's gone already. And this one here, that one's gone too. Every decision that we make, we're choosing to invest our life into something temporal or something eternal. This morning, I want to commend you. Everyone in this room, I want to commend you for making an eternal decision this morning. You made the decision to be here, to be with people of like faith and to worship God and to be forever changed into His likeness. That was a good decision. It was a kingdom decision. It's certainly in line with God's will. It's certainly what He wants us to do. And being here this morning and experiencing the joy and experiencing the love is exactly what God wants us to do. And what a kingdom life looks like is one of those decisions after another, after another. And take these simple six steps. And you can use them to weigh out, is what I'm about to do about to be a kingdom decision or not? And there's another decision that you can make this morning. The decision to spend eternity, to spend every minute, every instant after this life with God. You know what that decision looks like? It looks like confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and admitting that you have no ability to save yourself and relying on the work that we talked about earlier, the work on the cross. Being baptized, having your sins washed away for all of eternity and accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You can have that this morning. Whatever your need is, whatever decisions that you've made, God can make them better. Would you let us know what they are as together we stand and as we sing?